I want to play for you a video, which is local news coverage from Arizona, from the Phoenix area, from November 4th. This was the day after Election Day, as, you know, the counting is ostensibly going on, as they were supposed to be counting ballots. Do you remember what was going on in the Phoenix area? It got really ugly. Well, here, we'll go through a little trip in the time machine.
And welcome back to the news at 8 o'clock. We are staying on top of breaking news just outside of the Maricopa County Recorder's Office.
We've got team coverage for you tonight from the scene in downtown Phoenix. Brianna kicks us off. And Brianna, oh, you're outside now. I was going to ask you, how are the folks inside reacting to what's happening outside?
Yeah, so we locked out the doors of the Maricopa County Election Center to come out to a crowd looking like this. It is dozens of people that have gathered, or regathered, I should say, here outside the Election Center. It's been rowdy, nothing violent, but a lot of profanities being yelled, a lot of people yelling for Trump. They support him, but also yelling fake news and yelling about Sharpie Gate that we've been talking about the whole time. A lot of people asking where their ballots went. Of course, they now see us doing a live shot. Sheriff's Office has brought more deputies on. They've actually put caution tape here on the bottom of the stairs, the cement stairs, that would take you up to the Election Center. We're monitoring the doors so none of them get in. But that has angered a lot of the people out here for this rally. They feel like they should have equal access to the county Election Center like the media does. So I don't know how long they're going to be out here. The good news is nothing is violent. Some people are just saying, hey, we want to know what's happening. We're excited for this election. We support Trump. And they want to have some answers from Adrian Fontes. We have not seen him on the premises here tonight. So it's really changed. It's really started when just a couple members of the AZ Patriots group walked into the county election center earlier today. And it's really escalated when they met other people at the Arizona State Capitol. So it looks like they're taking a knee now. I'm not really sure what's going on, but Kim Powell is down on the ground just behind me. She's got a better view of what's going on from the ground. So Kim, can you tell us what you're seeing from over there?
And it's not very, it's not a very big crowd, but boy, they were loud, huh?
Yeah, just kind of echo what you said, but I'll be sure to keep this brief as it is a little bit more hostile down here. We have some people that are kind of targeting us and they're able to, apologize for that. They're coming up to us, you know, shouting fake news. We've had a couple people tell us that we're disgusting, and I'll take a step to the side. It sounds like someone is speaking right now, and they are all taking a knee. But again, as you were saying, that they're asking people to be let into the elections department, and they are asking to speak with Adrian Fontes, and they are saying
that's
that
the register, the recorder,
so chants,
the county recorder,
such as "Let us in four more years and count the vote." So for now, I'll send it back to you guys in the studio.
So that is what went on. That's what was happening in Phoenix. And it wasn't only November 4th. This went on for days. And the crowds got bigger and a little more, you know, she said they're not violent or anything. Well, they got scarier, let's put it that way. So I am curious to know how the Secretary of State's office is dealing with this, especially at a time when now, not only in Arizona, but all around the nation, state legislatures are pushing through these bills, these voter suppression bills. Now, if you've been listening to progressive talk radio for any amount of time, whether it's my show or Tom Hartman's or anybody else's, you have definitely heard from Paul Weyrich. This clip that I'm about to play for you goes back to 1980. And Paul Weyrich, he's the guy who helped to found ALEC and a number of these other right wing groups. Again, 1980 is when he said this.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
You've heard that. You've heard that ad nauseum. And the thing is, that has been the Republican playbook for decades. That was 1980, and that's been their game plan. So it may have taken 50 years, 40 years, but they're getting their wish. They don't want everyone to vote. That's the thing we need to keep in mind, especially now as we look at this legislation that's working its way through state houses around the country. And again, from the best I can glean, it's 43 states. There are now 253 bills with provisions that restrict voting access in 43 states. It's one of the reasons I want to talk to our guest today. She's the Secretary of State of Arizona. Her name is Katie Hobbs. Secretary Hobbs, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm not sure if you know, get this out of the way at the beginning. I've been following you for a while, mostly because, number one, I was impressed with how you handled all the events surrounding the craziness around Election Day. But you're also Christine's boss. And Christine, who works in your office, is Max Sloan, my stepson's significant other. So we've got a little familial connection here.
Well, we love Christine. She's fantastic.
Great. And I have not yet met her in person, and I'm embarrassed to say, but it's COVID time. So, you know, we're in Florida. So, one of these days we will meet, hopefully when it's safe to travel again. So I'm glad she works for you. We were thrilled when we learned that, you know, she was in good company there. So I just played a video, Secretary Hobbs, from November 4th. It was actually the scene outside the county recorder's office the night after election night, when they were either protesting to count the votes or to stop counting the votes. And I don't think they even knew what they wanted. Did they know?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell. And I said multiple times publicly, you know, I'm not sure what their objective is being here protesting, because obviously, we're going to count all the votes. We're legally obligated to do that. And so, and quite honestly, them being there was actually providing some hindrance to the folks getting their job done.
Of course. Right. And so, you know, I've been involved in the, you know, as a political watcher for years. Back in, I want to say, the 2004 election, there were some concerns about shenanigans at the polling places. And so many of us, myself included, signed on to be poll watchers. And so went through the training. So I knew what that entailed. And each polling place, there are specific guidelines as to who can be a poll watcher. Yes, you've got to be appointed by the party. You've got to be go through training. You've got to have credentials. You don't just show up at the polling place and say, I'm here to observe. Did any of those people get the memo?
Apparently not. I mean, people were actually demanding to be let in when there were already credentialed observers in there who were there on behalf of the party chair. And the party chair, the GOP party chair, was one of the people making all these allegations that observers weren't being allowed in. And obviously, in this election year, we had a little bit more restriction around the number of people who could be in any area, but that did not exclude any legally authorized poll observers to be there, and so anywhere that they're allowed in statute, they were there, and so you know, it was a lot of, I think, just a lot of intentional misdirection to make it look like things were not above board as they were.
Right. And they were. That's the thing. There were credentialed poll watchers, as there always are. They made it sound like, oh, the counting is done in the undercover deep at night, which some of it was done at night because they were counting around the clock to try to get it done. But it was by no means clandestine or secretive. Right. It was following the procedures that are laid out in the law. Right.
Yes. And also, a lot of people don't know this, but in addition to having credentialed poll observers and observers in the tabulation centers, every tabulation center in Arizona, so every county's counting room, is live streamed on video. And so you could go to any county's election website, find that live stream, and watch the process as it's happening. Anyone in the world with access to the internet could do that.
Wow. Okay. So that further debunks the story that they were pushing. Which couldn't be any further from the truth. They weren't locked out from watching the counting. They were kept out of the room for a number of reasons, most notably right now, COVID. Hello.
Right.
But also, even not for, if not for COVID, they still wouldn't have been allowed in unless they were credentialed and it was, you know, cleared in advance the way that it's always done.
Right. Right. I mean, even without COVID, the number of people in there is limited because it's a distraction otherwise. And there are going to be space limitations, and there's statutes and rules and procedures around the security and access to the facility. And so it's always going to be limited. We can't just let everyone in there.
Right. So that said, putting aside the counting stuff, which, again, you guys followed the rules and there were Republican poll watchers in place, as there always are. So the stuff that there's, these are people, these are the low information voters, the ones who, and I always say they're the most dangerous people, the ones who have just a little bit of information and think that with that they know everything and they know more than you, in your case, you know, Secretary of State, because they have a little bit of information. So, but how was 2020 in terms of voting in Arizona? Was, like in the nation, the highest turnout ever? Were those numbers the same in Arizona?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in my office, we've been celebrating the, first of all, the very successful election. And I don't mean successful in terms of outcome.
Right.
As a election officer, I'm concerned about the integrity of the process. And I can 100% say that the process that we had in Arizona was by statute and by the book, and we did everything the way it's supposed to happen. And it was a phenomenally successful election, not just the general in November, but the two preceding elections in March and August. So that we're celebrating that for sure. And that is not just our office, but a testament to the election workers across the state. But yes, we did have record turnout. And I think in our democracy, that is always something that should be celebrated. And, you know, what we're seeing instead is a blatant attempts to roll that back, which, you know, I'm sure is what you're getting to.
Yes. And so, you know, so in Arizona and around the country, not only did we have record turnouts, but as we learned from, well, an official who's now gone, the one who was in charge of making sure that everything ran smoothly, this was the least problematic election we've had in a long time either. And I say that the reason for that is simple, because they were paper ballots filled out by hand, counted in many cases by hand, or at least, you know, scanned and then recounted, as was the case in Georgia, three times, where they found no problems at all. I've been pushing for years for hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots, because there's no software screw-ups possible. Do you agree with that, or are you okay with the electronic voting machines?
Well, I don't think it's feasible to actually hand count every ballot. I mean, but I will tell you that there are many safeguards around the equipment. So, and this is part of the big lie, right? People telling how the equipment isn't secure, and that is absolutely false. And we do logic and accuracy tests on for every county before every election. And then the counties also conduct a post-election logic and accuracy test to prove that the equipment is functioning the way that it's supposed to. And there is no internet connectivity of these machines or anything like that. And so it is secure, and we take great steps to ensure that that happens, because it's not feasible to count millions of ballots by hand. But we can make sure that we are securing the equipment and that the equipment is doing its job. And that's what we do.
And then when you do audits or, you know, just checks along the way, when it comes out that the numbers jibe, you got to go, OK, so this is working. Right. So you don't have to hand count every ballot, but you do, you know, audits and stuff. And in Georgia, they did, I believe, two or three hand recounts and found no problems. So, Katie Hobbs, you are the Democratic Secretary of State in Arizona. Are you the only executive level official in Arizona who's a Democrat? I know Arizona now has two Democratic senators, which is an interesting development. How about on the state level?
So in 2018, when I was elected, along with Kyrsten Sinema to the U.S. Senate, we also elected Kathy Hoffman as the superintendent of public instruction. Mm. And then we added a Democrat to the Corporation Commission. So she was a lone soldier there from 2018 to 20. And then another Democrat was elected to the CorpCom this last election. So there's four of us in statewide office. And then if you count the two U.S. senators, six.
So you still have the Republican governor and lieutenant governor. When are they up for to be challenged? Put it that way.
Just to clarify, Arizona does not have a lieutenant governor.
Oh,
so I am next in line. I'm basically the de facto. We just don't have that in our constitution.
Gotcha.
So all of our statewide offices, with the exception of the five Corporation Commission seats, two of those will be up in the 2022 election.
Okay. So Secretary of State is a big job. And I guess it differs. You know, if you look at the federal Secretary of State, we're talking about international relations, diplomacy. But the state secretaries of state, number one, do oversee elections. Is that the case in every state that's a responsibility of Secretary of State?
No, a couple states, I'm thinking North Carolina and Illinois, have an independently, I don't know if it's independently, but election administrators that are appointed in one way or another by the governor or the legislature. And so their secretaries of state do not oversee elections. And then not every secretary is elected either. In Pennsylvania, there are secretaries appointed, but does oversee elections.
You know, in Georgia, because Georgia was in the spotlight, much as Arizona was during this election cycle, the Secretary of State, Rappensperger, I believe was his name, is a Republican.
Yes.
As is the governor, Brian Kemp, who is, you know, way out there. But they both sort of did the right thing when it came to this election. They were saying, we did our job. This election is valid. These votes are real. They did the recount. They recounted again. But they're both still Republicans. Well, today, the former guy just endorsed some talk show host, congressman or something, to run against Rappensperger to be the new Secretary of State in Georgia. So no good deed goes unpunished, I guess. Katie Hobbs in Arizona, have you decided what you're doing? Are you running for re-election? Or maybe I know a former Arizona Secretary of State was Jan Brewer, and she went on to become governor. Any chance you might run for higher office?
Well, Jan Brewer did not run for that.
Oh, seat. She was appointed. Right.
Yeah, well, she succeeded because Napolitano went to Homeland Security under Obama.
Oh, so she was next in line, as you're next in line. I see.
Yeah. I have not publicly announced my plans for the 2022 election.
Okay, so you're still considering all your options, I guess.
Sure.
Okay, that works. So right now, Arizona, and Arizona is not unique, all around the country, states are that are in legislative session. I'm in Florida. It's happening here, where the legislators are introducing all of these voter suppression bills. Interestingly enough, at a time when Congress is hoping to pass, you know, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, trying to pass real voting election reform by way of HB1 and now SB1. And yet in these state houses, the horrible legislation that's being pushed through to curtail mail-in voting, to curtail, drop boxes, everything that worked in November, they want to do away with. And this was interesting. I just found this. Arizona leads the nation in proposed voter suppression legislation with 24 restrictive bills. Pennsylvania is in second place with 14 right now. So are you up to speed on what these bills are that are working their way through the legislature?
I couldn't cite all the provisions of all of them, but
sure.
we in terms of what we're concerned about and what we're keeping our eyes on, we're very well aware of this legislation.
So, and what's happened? I mean, are you in danger? In Florida, for instance, there are many more registered Democrats than there are Republicans. But the Republicans run everything on the state level. They control the House. They control the Senate. They control the executive branch. The only Democrat in the statewide, in the executive offices is Nikki Fried, who's the agriculture secretary, who's probably going to run for governor. But frankly, I don't know. She's the agriculture secretary. We are at a disadvantage because, frankly, the Florida Democratic Party kind of sucks. In Arizona, how is it looking? What's the breakdown like in the legislature there? Are they going to be able to do this?
Republicans have the majority. And the thing is right now is that they have the slimmest majorities that they've had in decades. The House split is 31-29 and the Senate is 16-14.
Oh, wow.
And given that, I think that's an indicator that Arizona is continuing, we're going to continue to be a swing state. And I've never seen the level of extreme proposals that we're seeing this year. Voter suppression legislation in Arizona is not new, but the number of bills, the number of legislators who are, pretending to be election experts is just really unprecedented. And I think without a federal floor in terms of voting access, we're continuing to see the Voting Rights Act chipped away at. That this is really dangerous in terms of voting rights, not just in Arizona, but across the country.
It really is. And again, you just came into the Zoom room as I was playing that Paul Weyrich clip that, I've gone to over the year. I've been doing this for a long time. I keep playing that clip to show that Republicans are very disciplined in this in this sense, in that they play the long game since 1980. And somebody even just said it the other day in terms of, and I wish I could remember who it was. It's old age brain fade coming on. But said, the Democrats are willing to risk fraud to let everybody vote. But the Republicans, we'd rather not everybody not vote. So there will be no fraud. Well, it's a flawed premise because there is no voter fraud. Your Secretary of State of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, have you seen any instances? How many instances of voter fraud have you found in your state since you've been in office?
None. I'm certain that there have been isolated incidents that have been reported to the Attorney General's office. They're being investigated by the Election Integrity Unit, but nothing at the level that would, overturn an election in our state. And I'm glad you brought up that quote because that was an Arizona legislator, John Kavanaugh.
Right.
It is a false premise. We do not have to make the choice between election security and voter access because what we saw in the 2020 election proved that we can have both. This has been a favorite claim that they've made over the last many years as they've chipped away at voter access. And we don't have to make that choice. We have both.
Exactly. And that's why it's so imperative. I mean, the Congress, now barely in Democratic control, is trying to get this bill, HB1 and SB1, passed. Unfortunately, with the filibuster in place where they make it so you need 60 votes to open or close debate on any bill to go to an actual vote, that's going to be impossible. And one of the barriers to filibuster reform is Kyrsten Sinema. Now, I remember Kyrsten Sinema when she was a state senator because she used to go on Keith Olbermann's Countdown on MSNBC all the time. So that's where I first learned of her. And I thought, oh, she's this young, progressive go-getter. And it seems like the better job she got, the more anti-democratic she became. I'm not going to ask you to criticize her. I'll do that for us. She's just horrible. She might be. And for years, I called out Joe Manchin as being the worst Democrat in the Senate. These days, Kyrsten Sinema might get that prize from me. How do you deal with a senator like that who seems to be going against the best interests of the people?
Well, look, you brought up a few minutes ago playing the long game. And what I do know about Senator Sinema is that she does that. She is doing the job that she was elected to do. I think the way that she sees fit to do that. And I'm not going to comment on how she's doing her job. I think that she has reasons for what she's doing. And certainly constituents can contact her with concerns. And she has a great constituent office to talk to those folks. I do think she has reasons for what she's doing. I'm not defending her. I don't know what those reasons are, but we are both elected to serve Arizona, and I'm doing that the best I can. And I have to say that I think she is too.
Okay. I hear you. And I don't want to put you in a bad situation, in a bad position to criticize her. That's why I said, I'll do it. And I do it all the time. So it's not just because you're here. I'm frankly incensed at her. The way she voted no on the $15 an hour minimum wage made me want to move to Arizona just to vote against her. In case you missed it, she did the thumbs down and a little cutesy curtsy wearing her little Catholic school outfit. She's just inappropriate on every front. So that's me. Mark Kelly now is now the junior senator from Arizona. And to be honest, I was a little nervous because I know that Gabrielle Giffords was kind of a blue dog. She wasn't the most progressive. And I come from a place, I'm a very progressive person. I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I want to see the Green New Deal implemented. So I come from a place to the left of center. But Mark Kelly has so far been playing ball. He seems like he wants to make progress, which is, I think, what we all want. So so far, so good.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I've got you here. Again, we're speaking with Katie Hobbs. She's the Secretary of State of Arizona. How are things going there with COVID? How is your vaccine rollout going? Again, this is another thing because the way it was set up, it's left to the individual states to figure out how to distribute the vaccines, who's going to get them, when they're going to get them. It's been a mess here in Florida. How are things going in Arizona?
Well, they seem to be smoothing out, and there seems to be hope that very soon, everybody who wants a vaccine will be able to get one. That being said, I have been a little bit frustrated. We had a year. We knew a year ago that part of how we were going to get out of this was making sure that people had access to vaccines. We didn't know when those vaccines were coming. We sure had a year to build a plan of how people would get those vaccines. Mm-hmm. And the plan here keeps changing. So we had different categories of access based on different criteria. If you were a frontline worker, if you had certain disabilities, and they've thrown all of that out the window. So like my brother-in-law, who is late 40s, should have been in 1C, which was like a certain category of health condition. And then he kept getting bumped because they just threw away all those categories and just went to straight age based. Huh. Well, now today, and as a mother of two young adults, they announced that 16 and up would be able to start signing up on Wednesday. So really? I'm very excited about that. But I'm also skeptical because the sign up platform is kind of very difficult to navigate. Now, I have a lot more confidence in my 19 and 22 year old to be able to navigate that than I did my 81 year old and 74 year old mom. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm glad the vaccines are here because it does seem that without the vaccine, our governor had kind of washed his hands of everything and wasn't going to take any more steps to help mitigate. So,
wow. And what's he doing now? What's the attitude that Doug Ducey is taking? I mean, again, in Georgia, the two Republican Secretary of State and Governor, you know, did the right thing around the election and counting the votes. But then they both said, well, we're Trump supporters, and they're backing this backward thinking, all these bills that are being introduced to suppress the vote. How's Ducey doing?
You know, I don't know what the governor's going to do on these bills. Should they make it to his desk? He's not necessarily forthcoming on his positions. I will say that he did the right thing in the election. He did what he was required to do by law and certified the results. And in terms of access to funding, his office was a good partner with our office. Our legislature actually blocked the federal CARES Act dollars from getting to our office for election administration. Wow. And he came forward. So, you know, we've been able to work with him on some issues. We have been over and over and over again defending the integrity of Arizona's vote by mail system, which that would have the most devastating impact if some of these bills pass. He has also publicly defended it with the president, the former president in the room. And I just hope he continues to do the right thing. And we'll see what happens when he gets these bills.
I hope so, too. We're coming to the end of the hour. Katie Hobbs, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. I really appreciate your time. In the last moment or so, do you have any thoughts on how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are doing in their first 60 days?
Well, I certainly didn't think there would be magic wands and that everything would be better. But I do feel hopeful that we have a grown up in charge of the pandemic response. I think that some states flailed because of lack of federal response, and that federal response is incredibly important. We are getting vaccines where they need to be, which there was no plan to do that before. So certainly we are seeing progress there. And there is, I think people are more optimistic than we've been in a long time, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel with the pandemic. But we also have a lot of other issues that we need to deal with, economic recovery from the pandemic. This American Rescue Plan is the most progressive legislation we've seen in decades in terms of that. And so I'm very hopeful.
Great. I am too. So we're on the same page there. Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State of Arizona, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and for the job you're doing there. It's encouraging to see Arizona trending blue. I've got one of my closest friends from LA is moving to Arizona. So, more blue people coming. So, we'll see what you wind up doing in 2022. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you.